4 o'clock hour. We are live at the Kaseya Center. We're on the East Plaza. So tonight, you'll have some Heat basketball on this very radio station. You will have Panthers hockey tonight, if you want to hear the Panthers game, on 790 AM, I believe. 790 AM. We are giving you a chance to win a pair of three-day passes to go to the Tortuga Music Festival, April 4th, 5th, and 6th. Do you know what a tortuga is, Crowder?
Turtle.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And what's important to us?
Save the turtles.
That's right.
No
straws. That's why we do the paper straws, because we're also very concerned about Los Tortugas, or Las Tortugas.
Las Tortugas. They got the tortugas down there by the Keys. Great fishing.
Yeah?
The dry tortugas.
I mean, you know, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but do we really need these tortugas for much?
Yes. Ecosystem.
Really?
Yeah,
they
man.
Add a lot to the ecosystem?
Bunch. I don't know what they do.
What do they add?
Little flippers.
Well, anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked, but the Tortuga Music Festival is on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Jelly Roll's performing, Keith Urban, Luke Combs, a lot more. If you want to win the three-day passes, text the word country to 20357. 20357. We'll give you a different code word every day, and hopefully you'll win the passes. Text country to 20357. If you want more info, go to WQAM.com. It's a text contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive.
Have you ever seen those things where, like, everybody's like, we hate mosquitoes, let's eradicate mosquitoes. But if there's no mosquitoes, then, like, the dragonflies die, and then this die, and that die, and then the whole world.
Well, that I understand, but are there natural predators of a turtle?
Sharks eat turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't tell me that sharks are going to drop off the face of the earth if there's no turtles. I can't imagine turtles are a major part of their diet.
No, but you go to the beach a lot, Hawk. You see a bunch of jellyfish all on the coastline when you're at the beach.
Mm. Yeah.
No, you don't.
I don't.
Right.
I didn't know what you wanted me to say.
Which way you want me to go here?
You know why?
I was trying to play along, but I got...
You know
got
why? Because turtles...
That's a better way to phrase that would be, you don't see a lot of jellyfish, right? Then I would have known.
But I was asking you a question. When you go to the beach,
well,
do you see a bunch of jellyfish?
I do.
No,
I do. At times, I do see
a lot of jellyfish.
At times, there's jellyfish warnings.
No, there might be a couple jellyfish, but you're not seeing them lined up on the coast.
I mean, you're not there with me. I see jellyfish.
If turtles weren't around, ocean water would look like Jell-O with jellyfish everywhere.
Yeah. Is that so?
They eat them.
Turtles eat jellyfish?
They do.
All right.
When the jellyfish suffocate the plankton and now the whales die.
All right. Listen, if there's a case to be made for the tortugas, I'm all in. I'm just telling you right now, from what little I know, I prefer a plastic straw over a turtle. It doesn't mean that I don't like turtles. I don't. But it doesn't mean that, like, I have any feeling towards it. I'm just telling you I like straws, plastic straws, more than I do turtles. But if you're telling me that I can no longer go in the ocean at the beach because it will be all jellyfish, then I'm all for saving the turtles. So I needed a reason. You gave me a reason. So now I know.
You're welcome.
I'm not certain you're right. You're saying the entire ocean becomes one giant mass of jellyfish?
You ever seen the Office where Jim puts a stapler inside a thing of Jell-O?
Yes.
That would be you jumping into the ocean.
Really? It would be that bad?
Yeah.
That
everywhere.
Gelatinous?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, all right. Let's get headlines here for the 4 o'clock hour with Alejandro Solana, a wealth of knowledge. Brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. What'd you find out?
Turtle eggs increase nutrients on the beach, which then promote vegetation growth and stabilizing of the sand dunes and barrier islands that keep the beaches there and stops erosion for the buildings to fall in the water.
Oh.
Turtles are keeping these – they're keeping
so
skyscrapers
that,
up.
That building that I see out there way in the distance, what causeway is that, Solana?
Venetian.
I see a building on the Venetian Causeway. You're telling me If I continue to use plastic straws, that building's going into the drink.
In the water.
I'm done. That's all I needed to know. I didn't know.
Yep.
Now I know. I have an open mind. That building's it's a good-looking building. I don't want to be responsible for that building going in the water.
All right, get you a metal straw.
All right.
I don't know. I think we could do without that building if we're being honest. Man, ever since you mentioned those cruise ship talk, that is fascinating, man.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
Hey,
you're onto something.
Let's build a giant building. Now, do you want to put it here on this land, or do you want to just throw it in the water and let the building float around? Oh, well, we'll put that one in the water and let the building float around. How is that possible?
Because the weight and the bottom.
No.
That damn thing goes on the water like 40, 50 feet.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's a building.
Yes, and now you can ride around in it. People enjoy it. It's entertainment.
No, Hawk, you're so right, because I'm just thinking about it, right? You grab one of these buildings, any of these high-rises.
Throw it in the water.
Just pick it up, lay it flat on the water. It'll sink.
Right.
Yes.
Why doesn't the boat sink?
Because
exactly.
It's a boat.
Exactly. Yeah. But if I throw a building in the water, isn't it just a boat? Isn't it? What makes a boat a boat? The fact that it's a building in the water versus a building on land.
Yes, man, Joe.
As someone texts in, I get dumber every day listening to y'all. Someone else texts in, LMAO, what the hell is going on?
It's a boat.
Well, listen, wait till you see the D. Wade statue.
Will that float?
He throw it in the water. I'm worried about it.
Barry Jackson, in a more serious note, Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald, was at the Mike McDaniel media briefing about an hour ago, and he tweeted out, McDaniel reveals that Bradley Chubb has, quote, ACL plus. So suggesting there's more than just the ACL problem, that there's more. And Barry Jackson says that suggests another injury, and he also says ACL Plus sounds like a streaming service that's going to charge you $7.99 a month.
Yeah, let's get rid of my Hulu, get the ACL Plus. I don't know what it is, what the plus is, but when you do, I have to tore mine four times. Cartilage, meniscus, you could have microfracture, the cartilage breaks off, some other ligament gets caught in there, scar tissue wraps around ligaments as your knee's healing. So it sounds like to me he's not going to be playing for a while.
And I would imagine if you're Bradley Chubb or his agent, as much as you want to play, even if you're the Dolphins front office, I mean.
Yeah. Rushing back for what? And especially after what happened with Jalen Phillips after rushing back.
Exactly.
We've danced this dance once this season.
I like that diagnosis. ACL plus. Might use that.
You're going to steal it.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to run through some of the local headlines, guys. I know there's a lot to get to, but the Hurricanes did win. They're 8-0. They play Duke on Saturday. That'll be at noon. Noon kickoff.
All right.
The Florida Panthers play tonight. They play the Sabres. Welcome back, Alexander Barkov. That'll be a 7 p.m. puck drop, as Hawk mentioned.
Shams Charania, by the way, I don't know if you saw this. Steph Curry has sustained a left perineal strain.
In the foot?
I don't know. Wherever the perineal is. Will be reevaluated on Friday, sources tell ESPN.
Are they good, Solana? Well, hell, they only played 3-4 games. But
I don't know. I haven't really – I haven't watched much of any of the Warriors, actually. So I'm not sure. I don't even know what the record is. Hmm. Peroneal.
Goodies?
Peroneal.
I think it's perineal.
Peronies?
Peroni's disease is the curvature of the penis.
Why do you say it so proper?
Because I watched that commercial. I love that commercial. Because they refused to show it, obviously. Yeah. And there's like just subtle curved bananas in the commercial. And like, you know, some deformed carrot in someone's salad. Like, it's so subtle. I love those commercials, the Peroni's disease. And then these poor sufferers, because it says in the commercial, it goes, take whatever can decrease the curvature by 4% or something. I'm like, 4%.
Scooch a little bit back over.
Went from a right angle to like almost a right angle.
It's obtuse now. It's an obtuse angle.
Jimmy's texting me, by the way. The Golden State Warriors are 2-1. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right. There you go.
Appreciate you getting that before the 5 p.m. hour.
Don't mention it.
Inter Miami won over the weekend, 2-1. First MLS playoff win for Messi and gang. World Series Game 3 is tonight, 8 p.m. Series shifts back to New York. Two exciting ones in L.A.
Our friend Reggae Man, good texter and tweeter, he says it's the Archimedes principle that keeps a boat that size, a ship, afloat. The Archimedes principle.
Yep.
Right. Archimedes, of course, famously invented the boat. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, that big old thing took off.
Yeah, they're gone.
It sank. Did you know how big that thing is?
I see it still.
I shouldn't say that at a Mickey Harrison-owned property anyway.
That big joke of move.
It couldn't stand looking at the D-Wade statue. Captain said, let's get out of here.
Craig Mish tweeted out,
UD statue looking at a D-Wade statue weird.
Just making sure Amy Audibert's not around yet.
She ain't coming now if she's listening on the ride in. He's like, no, thank you.
Craig Mish tweeted out that the Marlins are down to two finalists for their new
the
manager.
5 o'clock hour, I'm just alone interviewing the D-Wade statue. Everyone's abandoned us.
The Marlins are down to two finalists for their new manager, Cleveland Guardians bench coach Craig Albernaz and Texas Rangers associate manager Will Venable.
Somebody texts in, I thought 1 + 1 = 2, but listening to you guys, it has to be a totally different number. Yeah.
Smart.
Somebody says, I drove a carrier. They do not float. They displace water. I don't know. They have to float at some point unless they're driving like along the ocean.
The water pressure. Pushing back against it.
I don't know.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
Somebody texts in, a plane just flew right over me by FLL. Sorcery.
Sorcery. It's like drag versus lift and all. I learned that in school.
All right.
No, but like the Wright brothers, it made sense. They had like a propeller.
Mm-hmm. No, and they were using like wood. I mean, it was like the thing weighed 20 pounds. Of course it can float or fly. An airplane, like one of these ones, like you go overseas, you got 5 seats in the middle, 2 on the sides there, like these wide bodies. There's no way you can make an engine strong enough to fly.
Yes, there is.
Doesn't make any sense.
They go like 600, 700 miles per hour.
You know who that is walking towards us? Pelle Larsson.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. By the way, everybody enjoy the Sports Equinox.
Yes.
8 NHL games, including the Panthers. 11 NBA games, including the Miami Heat and the winless Detroit Pistons. MLS Cup playoffs tonight. Monday Night Football tonight. And Game 3 of the World Series tonight as well. Enjoy the Sports Equinox.
Ira Winterman just walked over. He is so fit. He looks so good. Mm-hmm. Really, it's a sharp jacket. Like, he looks really good.
Great tennis player, too, by the way. I've heard.
Yeah.
He keeps himself nice, huh? Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
I wish I could do that.
Could.
I can't.
You have to work harder.
I can't do it. I don't have the willpower. I don't have the stamina he does. Look at how good he looks.
Hey, there we go. Posting up.
Look at that. I mean, that's a sharp fella. But he does. He's super fit.
Yeah. All right, that's your weather.
Anything else?
That's your weather.
All right, there you go.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Do you marinate your meat?
Of course not.
Hawk and Crowder.
So we're at the Kaseya Center, and you've got some Heat basketball coming up tonight and a big Dwayne Wade ceremony tonight as well. And as Solana mentioned in the last segment, there is the Sports Equinox tonight. You have all five major leagues in action tonight. MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLS. It's a very cool night to be a sports fan. Listen, the Dolphins, I mean, the Hurricanes are fun as hell. And, again, you can nitpick, but they're fun as hell. They're undefeated.
Yes.
The Dolphins, this is, I would say, one of the most disappointing seasons based on expectation in the longest. Because you know what happens before a season? They tell you, not in so many words, yes, we believe in this team, or no, we don't. Because I could submit to you, Solana, that the Heat are in kind of a wait-and-see mode with this Heat team. There was a gauntlet thrown down to Jimmy Butler at the end of last season. There was no new contract given. The Dolphins, on the other hand, gave out new contracts to everyone.
Oprah with cars.
Right? They were, you get a new contract, you get a new contract. That is their way of saying,
believe
this is the roster. Mm-hmm. This is it. We have, like the Dwayne Wade sculpture, we have worked on it and sculpted it, and here it is. And so let's lock everyone in. There's no worry about Mike McDaniel because now he's under contract for so long. And there's no worry about Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle. You can go down the list. They told you this is the team.
Yes.
And, man, we see some significant flaws now. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm bringing it up. I don't have an answer. I had tweeted or DM'd with someone, and I said, they've got significant flaws. And he said, yeah, but who in the NFL doesn't? And I said, you know what? There are flaws in every team, but significant flaws is a different animal. And I think there's significant flaws. And I think Solana probably hit it on the head at the beginning of the season when I argued vociferously against it, which was that there's a flaw in the roster construction on how many people you need to stay healthy who have histories of not staying healthy and are at the age where you just don't stay healthy for 17 games.
What we need is the perfect storm to happen.
Right.
And that's what we're just depending on with the Dolphins. The Tua thing is the biggest thing. Because you even saw it with the 27 points after scoring 11. Like, Tua is, and you were saying it, Tua is the biggest piece of this puzzle. Where you want to say McDaniel. No, Tua is the biggest piece of this puzzle. But to your point, you can't go fix these flaws because of the fact that you've paid Jalen. You paid both Jalen, Jalen Waddle and Jalen Ramsey, and Tyreek already making $27 million. I want $31 million. Okay, you get $31 million. Two, we're going to give you $250 million. We have no backup quarterback. We know that now. Two is going to make it. If you had to bet money, 10 more games left. Is Tua playing all 10 games?
I mean, you'd have to say no. The only reason that I say no is not just based on his injury history, but just what I've watched with the quarterbacks for the Dolphins. I mean, every quarterback is getting hurt.
Yes.
And by the way,
paid Austin Jackson, too. Like, think about the guys you paid. Teron Armstead's making a lot of money.
By the way, I was thinking of this yesterday as we watched that Jaden Daniels pass where he works to get himself free, right? And he goes right, then he goes left, and then he steps into it, and he throws a Hail Mary, which is the perfect Hail Mary. Gets it as far as he can, and it's at a spot where the receivers can get under it. It's super high, and it works out perfectly. And I was comparing and contrasting that in my head to Tim Boyle's fourth down pass where he just launches the ball out of bounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's such an easier pass. All they need is a first down in that situation. He has no ability to work himself free. And again, I'm not saying Tim Boyle's Jaden Daniels because it's pretty obvious that he's not. But, I mean, literally, to just launch that ball into the stands versus what Jaden Daniels did yesterday. Oh, my
God.
Our hope is that Tua stays healthy and we start scoring 30 points a game. That's what that would be the saving.
Well,
grade.
They almost scored 30 yesterday,
and that's what
I mean. 30
do.
Would have won, I guess. Is
yeah. And it's funny you said it last week. I mean, last year you said it all the time. If they can get to 30, it's a race to 30. That's what they need. This defense has good players, but this defense isn't a shutdown defense. And even yesterday, the teams you believe in, Kansas City they lost, but killed me. The Ravens lost to the Browns with Jameis Winston.
How about that?
So good teams can get beat on any given Sunday, the old cliche. But you just see so many flaws in this team. You see so many mistakes made out of them. Even the snaps. What are you talking about these snaps for, the whole game? We talk about jumping off sides, all the penalties, first and 15, first and 20 all the time. That's what it is. This isn't a well-coached team. And when Tua went down, it looked like it was incompetent of playing in this league.
Somebody texts in, Hawk, didn't you say this was one of their best rosters ever? Yes, I did. But my point is my little soliloquy there to start the segment, the Dolphins told you this was one of their best rosters ever. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just me. I'm a hack. But it was the Dolphins front office saying this is one of the best rosters we've ever built because look at all the contracts we're going to give out. Mm-hmm. And they were wrong. I was wrong. They yes. were wrong. And but that's – Chris Greer has to take responsibility for that, not me. I'm a blowhard on the radio.
You have – pre-injury, you have one of the best defensive end duos in the league for rushing the quarterback with Jalen and what's his name? Big boy, Chubb. You have one of the best corners in the league. You have the quarterback last year and injury, what you say, he was top five in every category
and didn't miss a game.
You have the best receiver voted on by the players. He was the number one player in the NFL last season, voted on by the other guys in this league. You have a great young receiver, Jalen Waddle. The roster is you know what? Is it
on
well
paper.
Constructed? It's there's a lot of talent on the roster.
Yes.
I don't know if the roster is well constructed.
It's top heavy.
Yeah.
That was my fear coming in.
Well, and like he said, everything would have to go right. If you're top heavy, everything has to go right with the top heavy players because you're not counting on the bottom of the roster to do anything because all your money's tied in to those select players.
Or you just need those best players, yes, for it to go right and them to be available, but also they have to be perfect. It's kind of like when the Heat had the big three, not comparing what the Dolphins had of the big three, but that first year, I mean, the best player off the bench was James Jones. Like, the Heat hadn't gotten the Battiers yet. They hadn't gotten the Chris Andersons the Ray Allens yet. They were banking on Carlos Arroyo to put up 14 points in a game if Dwayne Wade didn't have his 33. You can't have that as a football team. You can't have the Carlos Arroyos now taking the spots of a Christian Wilkins. You just can't.
Yeah, and the other guys, I was thinking about y'all speaking about top heavy, you got Jalen Ramsey, a monster, Hall of Famer. Kader Kohou and Cam Smith get destroyed in one-on-ones.
Well, Cam Smith doesn't play. Yesterday was the first time he played, and he's only playing because other guys are injured. Yeah. Your second-round pick can't get on the field.
He can't get on the field. We're keeping around this Eichenberg. We kept around Skylar Thompson. So there are some – and then we're paying. It's not like we're finding diamonds in the rough. We're giving people $30 million a year to be here. It's not like, hey, snuck up on you with this.
Right.
We're going to give you $28 million. Yeah, I'm coming here to play. That's the problem. I don't think we're hitting on enough. Austin Jackson changed positions three times already, took him in the first round. We're not really hitting on a lot of young guys, and that's how you get depth, is where the young, low-paid guys are playing a lot of ball and making an impact.
But what is the decision then? Because we were reading Adam Beasley in the previous segment, Hawk, where he's saying there's a case for this roster to get blown up, essentially, like start the rebuild, trade everybody that you can.
Well, he makes a decent point, which is because you have to look at it logically. You get through this season. This is not going to be a Super Bowl season unless something miraculous happens. So Beasley saying, hey, if you lose to Buffalo Sunday, then – essentially, you're saying if you keep everything intact and go into next season with it, you're saying we still think it's right. And we think next season all the pieces will fall into place. There won't be the injuries. And, but at some point, Stephen Ross has to look at Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel and go, well, you told me that after last season and we gave out all these contracts and it didn't go right. Now you're telling me let's roll the dice and do it again. It's a very difficult decision to make because talent-wise, again, if you look at this roster on paper, but now it's going to be another year older.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very tough spot that they're in.
There's two people or two positions that I say they can move on and get something for. I think Raheem Mostert can get moved to a team that's a contender, and they're going to put him in because he is a touchdown scalper. He just finds the end zone. And you cannot, and I hate to say this, it's just fact, I don't want this to happen. I don't think they can keep Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. It's just too much money for two players. Waddle doesn't get enough work. Tyreek's a monster. Everybody knows that. But you can't have $55-plus million in two receivers forever. You can't do it. It's impossible to keep that way.
Yeah, if you're rebuilding. But the hard truth is, okay, you're trading one of those guys. That means you're pretty much conceding, okay, this era –
didn't
maybe
work.
Not the Tua era,
didn't
but
work.
This era with this core didn't work.
And it was supposed to.
But regardless, the guy you trade there, unfortunately, is Tyreek Hill, not Jalen
Waddle.
Well,
he's the one who can get you the most in return.
Oh.
Jalen Waddle will get you something in return, but
not
like what Tyreek Hill will.
He makes less, and you didn't draft him with a top 10 pick.
No. Mm.
It's harder to move on from somebody that you drafted with a top 10 pick who makes less than the superstar everybody around the NFL once.
Let's take a quick break here from the Kaseya Center. You got some heat action tonight. We're out here, so do not go anywhere. Hopefully Amy Audibert will stop on by in the next segment. We can talk a little basketball with her.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Shake what your mama gave you.
Hawk and Crowder.
We're out at the Kaseya Center on the East Plaza, and our friend Amy Audibert has stopped on by. She, of course, played college hoops at the U, so you know I'm fond of any hurricane. By the way, I don't know if anyone noticed, Canes women's basketball had an exhibition over the weekend. They played Palm Beach Atlantic. They beat them by 60. Yeah, an exhibition. But they open the season 1 week from tonight. They host Stetson at the Watsco Center. First season without Katie Meyer.
New era.
New era. Amy Audibert, though, is with us. What kind of heat season are we expecting? I'm going to segue over the heat. She is wearing a really sweet Dwayne Wade jacket, and it's got all his accolades on the sleeve. It's pretty badass.
Thanks.
What should we be expecting from the heat this season?
Well, two games in, it's kind of felt a little bit like two
Jekyll and Hyde.
A little bit, and I think that's okay. Listen, I just spoke to somebody, you know, of course, once people start realizing what you do and where you work, you're at the gym, you're at the grocery store, everyone wants to talk about it, right?
Yep.
And everyone has to realize, like, two games in, you know, and one of the biggest dynamics is Terry Rozier, is your new point guard. He only played a handful of games with this team last year. So I think this team has to settle in. We saw some really nice actions in Charlotte, and that needs to be a bit more consistent with the half court, full court pace, right? Here's the one thing I'm going to say about this league. If we've learned anything in the past couple weeks, like, every team is getting better. Every team, like, even Detroit tonight is going to be a scrappy team. So if Miami is healthy and they execute and they play hard, you'll get close to 50 wins, I believe, out of this team, right around there. If there's health problems, if the connectivity isn't there, it's going to be tough to win games. But this team is really talented. They're experienced. They have the best head coach in the league. They should compete and win basketball games. They are trying to play faster. They are trying to get up more three balls or get at the rim. These are things that we know. Can they execute it? That's going to be the challenge, because, like, defenders are getting longer and faster and stronger too. So it's going to be a fun ride.
And you talk about getting to the rim and shooting threes. We were kind of joking about it, where when they were in camp, Spo wouldn't let him shoot mid-range. He doesn't want to see mid-ranges anymore. Like, what was that thought of in camp when he was like, it's three or it's to the rim?
I think those are shots that – well, first of all, good threes are great shots in the league this year, right? Like, paint touch sprays, kickouts in transition. And Miami wasn't – they weren't the worst three-point shooting team. They also weren't the best. The Boston Celtics were the only team in the league last year that averaged over 40 attempts. They also, like, wiped everybody, and I hate saying that, right? So there is something there about getting the threes up at the high clip at the rim, right? Getting into the paint. That's how the really good threes actually get generated. So that's always got to be your top priority. We all know, like, the mid-range is one of the least efficient shots nowadays. The analytics say that. But Spo's also very much a, like, and I love this, analytics are guides. They're not gods. I say that all the time. Like, you can't just look at analytics and say we're not going to shoot mid-range, because what we saw in Charlotte was, like, Bam and Jimmy in particular, their catches in mid-range, and Jaime, I'll throw that in. Those are great catches, right? It's can they operate out of the mid-range? And I think that that's the intention. Is the execution going to consistently be there? That's what we're going to find out.
I think the also big question, and Amy, you and I discuss it all the time on the broadcast, but somebody on the outside looking in would say the Heat can't be consistent enough to compete with the top teams in the East. And when we're talking about the types of shots that they're taking, I mean, I think the first two games are kind of indicative of that. Against Orlando, they couldn't do it against a superior team. And then against Charlotte, a team like last year, they were 15-1 against some of the lower-tier teams in the East. They were able to find their spots and have success doing it. So can they be more consistent, I guess, is the question Hawk was really asking. Like, can they be consistent enough to have another run like they did 2 years ago?
I think absolutely they can be. Like, let's not forget, Jimmy Butler is still one of the best isolation or his ability to manipulate a defense players in the league. I don't care what anyone says. Coming out of the second quarter against Charlotte, he was like, give me the ball. Like, all right, you know what I mean? I think that there's something, and I always think of Fred VanVleet when I think about this, what I'm about to say, because with my experience with the Raptors, he consistently did this thing every year when he was kind of in that leadership role where he spent the first couple weeks, not that he wasn't like trying, but he was trying to see, you know, where everyone fit in and try to empower younger guys and all that stuff. And I think sometimes Jimmy kind of does that. Like, he doesn't want the ball in his hands all the time. It's not going to win games every single night just for him to have the ball in his hands. I think they can be consistent. It's still figuring a lot of it out. And then, of course, executing is the biggest thing.
Amy Audibert is with us. You'll hear her tonight on the Miami Heat audio experience, and you can watch her on FanDuel Sports Network Sun. Did I get that right? FanDuel Sports Network
Sun? Yes, sir. Sounds good. See, this is why Jax and Will get paid the big bucks. I'm here to talk hoops.
But I'm glad, because we're done talking hoops, I'm glad you mentioned Toronto. Amy's on our Mount Rushmore of Canadian guests.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I love everything about Canada. Now, Canada just celebrated Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Right. So did you celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving?
Not really.
No?
You know, I found when you're away from home and nobody really knows, it's better just to
Here's my point. The reason I bring it up is this. Is a traditional Canadian Thanksgiving, is it turkey and stuffing?
Yes,
and
but I don't eat meat, so it's like,
is that so?
You know, my
well,
uncle
here's
always
the,
talks about the
tofurkey. Here's the thing. Every Thanksgiving, my wife slaves away in the kitchen, and I watch football, and my son's home from college, and blah, 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 blah. And then the food comes out, and I don't think any of us really like turkey or stuffing or any of the crap that we eat on Thanksgiving. So last Thanksgiving, I made a proclamation. And when I say I made a proclamation, I made sure my wife was on board, too, because I can't really make a proclamation without her being on board. But I made a proclamation. No more, the Hawkmans, no more. You know, no more turkey,
nope.
No more stuffing, no more sweet potato pie, no more dinner rolls, no more green bean casserole, nothing.
What is it?
Now, I don't know. We're going to be like chicken parm or something. I don't know. We're going to do lasagna.
I just say, you sound like my family because we're half my family's Italian. So it's the same thing. They always do the Italian stuff, but then because they almost feel guilty not doing the turkey. So it's like
right.
So much food. It's
I was
too
just
much.
Curious where you stand on it. I mean, do you love the traditional Thanksgiving? I mean, you don't eat meat.
So it doesn't matter to me. But they've decided it's just like one turkey at Thanksgiving or Christmas because Christmas is the same thing.
Yeah, I'm doing, like, turkey sandwich if you want one at our house. Like, go to Wawa, get a turkey sub. But I'm done with that traditional Thanksgiving, and they've kind of poked and prodded at me saying either I'm not going to live by my proclamation.
No.
But I really am, and I think we're going to order in. That's another point of contention with
bring
him.
People together. You're supposed to cook. It's supposed to be a family thing.
Right. Yeah, but as long as you're cooking something, I guess.
But we're not going to cook anything. We're going to bring in like chicken parm and maybe some garlic bread and I don't know. I mean, that's what we're doing. Does that make me a bad person?
No, not at all.
Right.
The point is to just hang out, be together, be thankful.
Hang out and be thankful. I'm going to be thankful for that lasagna.
Look, he wants to buck Thanksgiving, but they're all into dressing up for Halloween as grown people. Where do you sit on that? I think you're 40 years old. What are you dressing up for? That's for kids.
I think it's awesome. I'm going to tell you something. Sunday morning, I was driving down US 1, and I saw – It was a mom and a dad and a little kid, and the dad was Aladdin. They were on motorcycles. The dad was on Aladdin. The mom was Jasmine, and the kid was Raja the Tiger.
That's
and I said, they're
great.
On a magic carpet ride down US 1.
That's
how
great.
Lovely is this?
I mean, Halloween's a great holiday. He turns the lights off at his house.
Yeah,
he doesn't give away candy.
I would say at what age? Because, you know, in college, Halloween's
a party.
Yeah,
that's a
Halloween's
party.
Halloween's a great day. Ain't Coach getting mad at me because I'm in costume today. Thank goodness they didn't have Facebook.
Oh, I say that
or
all the
Instagram.
Time. Social media would have got me in college.
That would have been the end of him right there.
Over for me.
Luckily, your MySpaces have been scrapped, by the way.
But Halloween in the Grove was it. I will tell you that.
For real. Yeah. Be at the tavern, man.
And, you know, we were still in preseason, so it was like green light.
See, I used to.
Are you enjoying the Hurricanes football season?
My group chats are so much better when Miami's winning. Because, you know, like, we're delusionally, like, we don't care.
We've been waiting for this.
Yeah, and then when it hasn't been the greatest of seasons, they're a little quieter. Like,
But this is like, yeah, I'm just.
No shame. Yeah, oh, no. So
waiting to be good every year.
So yes, much yes, fun. Yes. Amy Audibert, you will hear her tonight on the Miami Heat Audio Experience right here on 560 WQAM. And you'll see her on FanDuel Sports Network Sun. I did write that down somewhere. I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
Getting good.
Yeah. You are correct, Hawk.
FanDuel Sports Network Sun?
Yes.
All right.
Solana talks different when Amy's around.
Anytime that we're with him at the Heat's house, he gets... Because I call it like it is with this Dwayne Wade statue. Listen, I don't know what's going on there. It ain't Dwayne Wade. I don't know if they shopped at Temu or I don't know what happened. But Solana will not hear any of it.
Oh,
and
I won't
I'm
either.
Imagining Amy won't either. Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. Like, this is Dwayne was so involved in this process, and he's so proud of it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's very detailed oriented. If that's how you see yourself, like I think I can't wait to actually go get a better look at it up close because like they're saying like the tattoos, the bracelet, everything is just immaculate. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll also say this. I know a lot of people have something to say. 99.999% of people that are talking right now are never even going to have a statue considered made of them.
Right,
so,
but I'm not necessarily certain that Dwayne Wade has one made of him at this point.
It is, and we're proud of it.
It's a joke. It's a joke. Look at how angry Solana is.
He's so mad.
He is so mad.
Answered you a second ago.
Why do you do that in front of Amy?
That is correct, sir.
That's
yes.
not fair.
That is
know?
The station's
I don't
name.
Do that around your friends.
And I want to take shots at the Hurricanes, but Amy happens to be a Hurricane, so I can't even do that.
Fucking a hard place.
Basically, right. I'm no fun, right?
Everybody. No, you're the most fun. Canadians are always fun. We love Canadians.
Too fun.
Amy Audibert, you'll listen to her tonight. 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour is coming up. Jax is going to stop by during the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour. We'll talk a little Miami Heat and Dwayne Wade with him. Yes, I'm going to bring it up with Jax.
I'm warning you, we had a Teams this morning. Don't.
Oh, I'm bringing it up. Oh, I'm bringing it up.
It ain't going to be happy hour.
Oh,
and he ain't going to be channeling any Buddha.
All I need to hear is don't.
But I will say, and you could say, he did give a wonderful speech yesterday, Jax. I don't know if you guys caught that. He really did. Him and Dwayne have a very special rapport. And that meant so much to Jax to be able to do that. And so I'm so like grateful that he also had that opportunity.
Hey, he's been there since the get-go.
And he knocked it out of the park. Yeah. So on a serious, I told you I'm no fun.
No, I'm worried about him now because he's going to say something. If Jax hits him, I'm going to walk away.
I won't be here for that.
Wouldn't be the first time my mouth gets me in trouble. That's why I keep Crowder around
me. Solana's going to jump you with Jax.
Oh, Solana will be on Jax's side in a heartbeat.
Kick him, Jax. Kick him.
All right, 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour is coming up in a moment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This stuff is hard, and you got to stay together if you got the guts, and you don't find the first door and run out of it.
Hawk and Crowder.